We are continuing our Proverbs series, and today is going to be from Proverbs 5, and it's about wisdom and sex. I don't know about you, but I find it quite amusing that for a British culture where sex is mentioned, we all sort of look the other way. Our culture and our secular society in the UK is completely full of sex. Yeah. The voices we hear are all about sex. What about the 50 Shades trilogy series that is out there in the cinema that hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people are going to see 50 Shades? What about the Carry On films? So my dad loves the Carry On films, not for this reason, but Carry On films are all about the guys trying to have sex with the ladies, largely. What about music? Daft Punk, I'm Up All Night to Get Lucky. What about Harry Styles' Watermelon Sugar? Or maybe, if you have a better music taste, Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing. It's all about sex. What's one of the TV shows in our society that's a phenomenon? Love Island. It's all about sex. Not about love. Rubbish. And what about the old adage, sex sells? I regularly find myself getting grumpy as me and Temmie are watching TV, and I find that near enough every advert has something sexual in it. Because a lot of money has been spent that sex sells. There's an appeal to it. So it seems pertinent this morning that we will be looking at what does the Bible, what does God's word have to say for us on what sex is for, how we should approach sex. And the question we're going to loop back to at the end is, does what is in Proverbs 5 fit with the narrative of our secular society on sex? And the narrative I put to you is that you should have as much sex as you can to satisfy yourself and to be truly fulfilled. And we're going to see that the Bible, I'll kind of let you in before we get to the end, the Bible doesn't really agree with that. So I'm going to read from Proverbs 5. It's going to come up on the screen. Don't worry if you haven't got your Bibles. And I'm going to pray and then we're going to dive straight in. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding that you may observe discretion. And your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end she is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me. And do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Or you will give your vigour to others and your years to the cruel one. And strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. And you groan at your final end when your flesh and your body are consumed. And you say, how I hated instruction and how my heart spurned reproof. I have not listened to the voice of my teachers nor inclined my ear to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Drink water from your own cistern. And fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone, and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Amen. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress, and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. He will die for the lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he will go astray. Father God, we want to come before you, and we want to ask that you would use this time as we read your word to receive instruction, to receive knowledge. We want to meet with you through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you might help us to take the wise path when it comes to this topic of sex. I pray that you would help us do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at four things, if you like. First of all, we're going to look at the foolish path of sex, or with sex. I didn't quite know what it was, of or with. You can tell me after. Then we're going to look at don't go near the door. Then we're going to look at the wise path of sex. And then finally, we're going to wrap up with why do we do it. So let's first of all look at the foolish path. You're going to love to have your Bibles open because I'll be regularly referring to verses you'll probably want to peer down at. So Before we get into the foolish path with sex, it's really interesting. If you didn't miss the first sermon on Proverbs 1, that's absolutely fine. You can catch up on it. But you might have noticed this proverb starts again. It starts again with a plea that you would follow the path of wisdom. And it also talks about that as you follow that path of wisdom, you'll have instruction, you'll have discernment, you'll have knowledge. So once again, there's a plea. When it comes to matters of sex, please follow the path of wisdom. And this is contrasted with the foolish path, the path of sin. And what does the path of sin, what sin is being highlighted here? Well, it's in verse 3. It talks about adultery. It talks about the adulteress, about being seduced by the adulteress. And what this word literally translates as adulteress is stranger or other woman, someone other than your spouse. Now, I want to be very clear here today. This is not about women being the seducers in this area. This is written in a context where a father is writing to a son. This applies just as much to you today if you're a man or a woman. So bluntly, what sin is being pointed out here? What instruction is being brought? It is to not have sexual relations with anyone else other than your husband or wife. However, we know that Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, broadens this definition, doesn't he? He doesn't just leave adultery as having sexual relations outside your marriage, as physically having sex with someone. He says these words in Matthew 5, verse 27 to 28. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus broadens this definition of what adultery is way more than perhaps we understand it to be today, certainly more than they did. And what sort of things does this include? Well, this includes things like watching films. And I'm not talking about pornographic films. I'm talking about films that we might just be watching that halfway through there is nudity. There is explicit scenes in those films where we think, actually, this is really unhelpful and sinful for me to carry on watching this because it could cause me to lust after those people in the film. It could be music. It could be listening to songs that are very explicit, that lead you once again down to that path of lusting in your heart. So anything that causes you to lust after anyone other than your spouse, or if you're not married, anyone else, is the sin that has been talked about here. That is the foolish path of sex to go down. And we see here, once again, Proverbs, the wonderful imagery that brings this out. Of why would we do this? Why would we be tempted? Why would we be seduced to do this? Well, it talks about the lips, doesn't it? It talks about the lips dripping honey. It talks about the lips being as smooth as oil. On the surface, it looks attractive. On the surface, it looks sweet. And lips, the person's been very clever here, because they're not just talking about the look. They're talking about words as well. It's contrasted with the words of in chapter 2, your lips may reserve knowledge. So this is about things that are spoken to us. This is about, and the appearance and the taste of lips. However, we see, don't we, that despite the outward appearance, which may seduce us, which may lure us in, it is as bitter as wormwood. And it's as sharp as a double-edged sword. This narrative of have as much sex as you want with whoever you want is a path that leads to a bad outcome. It's a foolish path. And we're given five consequences of this path in this chapter. Verse 5 and verse 11. This foolish path of committing adultery, engaging in adultery, leads to death. Ultimately, it leads to death. If you give yourself over to these things wholeheartedly, the consequence of that will be that you lose your life. The second consequence, verse 6, it leads to instability. So if you were here maybe for the Proverbs 1 preach, maybe you're seeing some, you're remembering. These are the two consequences of following the path of foolishness. But this is particularly talking about, these are repeated again. Verse 9, the third consequence, a physical commitment and cost. This means you will physically give the best of your life, sexually, to something that is sinful. To something that you will be sowing seeds into which are sinful and bad and will lead to death and instability. The fourth consequence, verse 10, there's a financial cost. If you have adultery and you have end up having children as a consequence of that, you're going to find that there is a financial cost to bringing children up. And if you have multiple wives and multiple partners, then you may find that there is a financial cost to bear as you seek to support all of those children and give them a good upbringing. And the fifth consequence, verse 15, there may be public consequences of the sin of adultery. Often when adultery is committed, it's a public matter. Your friends, your family become aware of it. It's not kept secret. And what are some of the, to bring it a kind of to life, I suppose, for us, what are some of the illustrations that of things that we can maybe commit adultery? Because hopefully very few of us in this room will have sexual relations with someone outside of our marriage, physically, but we know that Jesus broadened that definition. So what is that? What does that look like for us potentially? And we've touched upon a few of these things. So I know, as I've said before, I know sometimes me and Temi have been watching films together and we've had to stop. And sometimes that's really hard because I'm enjoying the film. Sometimes we have to skip it because it's just one part of the film. I raised some songs with you today. There is some unhelpful content. I often love a tune of a song, and then when I'm actually sat there listening, or someone says to me, do you know what you're singing? And I'm like, oh dear. This is really unhelpful for me. I'm walking foolishly. I'm singing and talking about sex in a crazy way. And of course it does mean, soberly, this path does also mean to have inappropriate, to have physical sexual relations with someone outside of your marriage. So we see this path of adultery, we see this path of sexual fulfillment, this foolish path. We need to see it for the sewer that it is. We need to not be captivated by the appearance of the sweet appearance and the smooth appearance. And we need to see that actually it leads to terrible outcomes. But what should we do? Once we see it, what should we do? Because we're surrounded by it. And I love this. I love this in verse 8. Keep your way from her and do not go near the door of her house. This is a very strong and radical instruction. And this instruction calls for a physical, but also a mental distance. Don't even flirt with the idea. Don't even fool yourself that you can cope with this, that you have the strength to resist temptation. Don't go anywhere near it. And this is in keeping with the Bible. Does anyone remember the story of Joseph? When Joseph, he was working for a man called Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife appeared to him and said, sleep with me, and begged him. What did Joseph do? It says he fleed. And if I've remembered correctly, his clothes actually come off. But he's so desperate to flee, he doesn't want to go anywhere near the door so that he might end up walking down that path of foolishness. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Timothy's, there's an instruction to flee youthful lusts. Flee from it. Be nowhere near it. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, where we read earlier, this is how radical the action he talks about when it comes to adultery. Now, if your right eye is causing you to sin, tear it out and throw it away from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand is causing you to sin, cut it off and throw it away from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. Jesus isn't talking about having an army of people in heaven missing body parts. He's talking about a radical action. To say, I'm not willing to go anywhere near that door. And I'm willing to lose and suffer great cost in order to do that. So what does that look like? Well, for me, in my teenage years, and my student years particularly, that looked like me not having a phone with internet access. I could not be trusted. So me fleeing, to going nowhere near the door, was to have no internet. Do you understand, even 10 years ago, how inconvenient that was? Having to ask mates to look up train times and bus times. But that was radical action for me. Was it inconvenient? Absolutely. Was it a cost? Absolutely. But it helped me go nowhere near the door that I might fall into adultery. For you, it might also be accountability software. It might be that you buddy up with someone in the church, a brother or sister that you trust, who will have access and will receive a report about what you're looking at on your phone, on your laptop. That might be something, that might be radical action. Is it embarrassing? Is it humiliating? Is it really humbling? And is it a cost when that person has to come to you and say, what is this? Because I've received it in a report. Absolutely. But I would say it is a true following of going nowhere near the door, helping keep us away from it. And finally, because it's not all about, actually, some of it's a bit more subtle. I know when I got married, and just to be clear, I've shared all of this with Tammy, so she's very happy with the content I'm sharing. You're all worried now, you're like, whoa, what's he going to say? When I got married, actually I'd say in the process to getting married, I had quite a steep learning curve. I had three male friends that I had no sexual relationships with, but were very dear to me and very close to me. And as I entered into engagement with Temu, I slowly learned, mainly through her wisdom, not mine, those relationships had to change. Because I was actually, as I was opening myself up once I was married, to actually righteously enjoying the gift of sex, that was going to potentially leave me and leave my female friends in a place where temptation was there for us. Was that hard? Yes, absolutely. A lot of those friendships have kind of fizzled out today, to be honest, because we were close and we stopped. But it was worth it, because it's kept me from going nowhere near the door of even being tempted to lust at someone. That's not to say you shouldn't have female friends or friends of the opposite sex, but this is a radical call to action. This isn't just, we should just not watch a few films that are maybe 18 rated. This is a radical call to action, which today we all need to hear this. We need to hear this instruction and prayerfully consider, what does this look like for us? Now I'm aware that you might be a bit beat up at this stage. You might be sat there thinking, crikey, a lot of this stuff that's been mentioned I've done, maybe even in the last week, in the last day or two. Well, I would encourage you, because God does not condemn, God convicts. Key distinction. He does not say, you are a terrible waste of space who's failed again. He says, puts his finger in your life and says, this isn't good, is it? This is the path of foolishness, which is going to end with these terrible consequences that we've seen. Confess your sin to me. And the blood of Jesus is there, that is already waiting to cleanse you, so that you might be restored into the life that I have for you. So I want to, in a moment, I'm going to stop actually. We're going to take a moment to prayerfully close our eyes and to consider that, so that we can then move on. But I want to encourage you with one thing before we do that. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says this: no temptation will overcome you. If you look to the Lord, he will show you a way out. I love this. I'm sure like many of you, I have found every excuse in the book to get out of, I was just too tempting. It was too tempting. If you like using this chapter, their lips were too dripping with honey. I just couldn't resist. It was too smooth, too appetizing. No, it's not what God's word says. God's word says, look to him and he will show you a way out. So we're just going to pause there for a moment. Please close your eyes, bow your heads, and just use this moment to maybe have an opportunity to just say, if you feel God is convicting you of something around this, just to give it to him, just to confess it to him, and to thank him for his blood, which has washed you clean. So we'll do that, and then I'll start back. Amen. Thank you. He is a God of grace and redemption. You need feel no condemnation. So we know that we don't go near the door. So is that it? Is the message from Proverbs 5 today that the Christian God is a killjoy who doesn't want Christians to have sex and just wants you to live your life abstaining? Well, no, absolutely not. We come onto what does the wise path with sex look like? And we see from verse 15 to 19 that the wise path with sex is that sexual enjoyment, sexual fulfillment, sexual intercourse should be enjoyed between a man and a woman in marriage. And once again, we draw upon the beautiful imagery of Proverbs, which really brings this out to us. So verse 15 to 16 talks about water, doesn't it? You know, I'm thinking, what's this? This is weird. What's this all about? Well, it has imagery for us. So it talks about it being pure. It talks about it being pure. That there is something about sex inside of a marriage and sex and enjoyment that is pure. Unlike the foolish path, unlike lusting for someone other than your spouse, this is pure. There is nothing bad about this when it is between you. It also talks about springs of water. Sex inside of a marriage is life-giving. That's what springs do, don't they? You find a spring, and it's a source of water. It gives life, it gives abundance. Sex between a man and a woman in marriage is life-giving. It is brilliant. It is to be rejoiced in. And as we carry on through verse 15 to 19... we see that sex is to be enjoyed. Sex is to be fun. Sex is to be exhilarating. Know what it doesn't say, though? It doesn't say how often you should have sex. It doesn't say how you should have sex. That is for every married couple to find your rhythm, to find your path of enjoyment when it comes to sex. However, this path is no less radical. I hope you take that from today. There's a radical action to do not go near the door, but there's also a radical action of things we should be doing. And there's a series of verbs. You see this in a series of verbs. Verse 19, it says, at all times. Do these things at all times. Do these things always. So what are these things? There's two things. There's two applications, two things that we should be fully committed to doing, radically committed to doing. The first one is to rejoice in the wife of your youth. This word youth does not refer to a young age of marriage. We should have wives and husbands of our youth for all time, for all of our marriage on earth. But what is this? What does sexual rejoicing mean? What does that actually practically look like without being a bit of a weird statement? Let's try and put some flesh on the bones. Well, this word rejoice means feel or show great delight. The root of the word is linked to joy when there is stamping of feet, clapping of hands, dancing, shouts of joy. This joy that it speaks about is so effusive that one is besides itself, absolutely crazy with joy. So I would say a helpful application from this today for married couples. Let your sex life be one with great shouts of joy. Honestly, let your sex life be one of great shouts of joy. It's biblical. Let it also be one where verbal communication about the joy it is bringing you is shared. I know it's not always easy, I don't know why, but particularly for men, to express how they feel. But you know what? Your wife loves it. And I'm sure I love it when it happens to me. When there's actually a verbal communication of, that was great. She's crying on you. Tammy says she wouldn't get through without laughing. She's not staying for the video. I would also say a second application to this in terms of rejoicing sexually in the wife of your youth. Let your sex life be one where you express your delight and joy with your body. Very simple point, but very important. The second application of walking this wide path with sex. Let her breast satisfy you and be exhilarated in her love. This word actually, satisfying, referred, the root of it is intoxication. Be intoxicated with your spouse during sex. What does that mean? Well, probably most of you, when you hear intoxication, think of someone getting drunk. It means to be all consumed, to be entirely present, to be fully committed, to be nowhere else. When you are enjoying the gift of sex inside of your marriage, be entirely consumed, be entirely intoxicated, be all there. And what does this look like? We see in 1 Corinthians 7, 2-5. We have some instruction on this. I'm going to read this to us. But because of sexual immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise the wife also to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, and come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Husbands and wives, give yourselves sexually to one another. Be exhilarated with one another. Be emotionally, physically, and spiritually captivated by your spouse. And don't just be thinking that up here. Make sure you're showing it. And I would encourage you, this takes work. But let's commit to it. Let's commit to it. Because it's biblical. But also it's a precious, precious gift for our marriages. We've just heard that, haven't we, in the Corinthian verse we've read. So it's not only a protection against sexual immorality, not only a protection against the path of foolishness, but it is a precious gift to be enjoyed, to be protected, to be invested in. And we neglect it at our peril. But you might be sat here today and you might be thinking, well, I'm single, I'm widowed, or maybe I'm in a marriage and I can't have sex. Well, I want to encourage you as well. And I'm just as passionate about this. This isn't like an add-on because you don't quite fit the message. I'm passionate about this. I encourage you that Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, never had sex. Jesus lived a life to the full. He lived an abundant life. And he came so that we might live life abundantly. So I encourage you to trust in his plan for your life. His plan might be for you that you never have sex. And you know what? That's okay. Because he knows and he wants best for your life. He knows the plan that he has for you. But I would also encourage you, take your frustrations to him. Scripture is full of prayers of people coming and respectfully, but really saying to God, I'm struggling with this. Bring that to him in prayer. Let him minister to you as you do. And of course, come and speak to us. Come and speak to us. We are more than happy. We are wanting to have these conversations, to help pray for you, to love you through these situations, so that you can live a fulfilled life the way God has planned it for you. So finally, how and why do we do it? How do we... Because as we said in the introductory sermon to this series, it's not just a case of self-help. Okay, Jason, we do the things you said not do. We do the things you said do, and we don't do the things you said don't do. It's not that at all. I don't know about you, but I don't have the ability to be able to walk the path of wisdom with sex as I need to. So I need the verse. I need verse 23. Verse 23 is a reminder. Sorry, 21 actually. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. We choose to walk the path of wisdom because we remember that God is watching. If we have come to a place where we have given our life to Jesus, said we are offering up our bodies, everything we are, as a living sacrifice to you, then that includes sex. And we come and we say, Lord, we want to stay on this path, help us. Help us to stay on this path. And this goes back to the fear of the Lord. See, when we have our dull moments, how often does Scripture say the people have gone dull, their ears have closed, listen to me. He says it in this chapter, doesn't he? Listen, my son, listen, please. It's a plea. We talked about it before, didn't we? An appropriate fear of the Lord that chimes inside of us, that says, I shouldn't be watching this. I need to turn this off. That relationship at work is not helpful. I've got a dear friend who actually realised that one of his colleagues was getting a bit intimate and a bit inappropriately close with him. Not even tempted himself, but trying to love her, and actually asked his boss, can you not put us on projects together? I don't want to be on projects with her because I think it's an unhelpful relationship. Now, I don't think he went into Proverbs 5 and said, this is the reason why I'm doing it. But let's remember why we take this radical action. To not do things, but also to do things. So sex is a beautiful blessing inside of marriage. To be enjoyed and to be cherished. But it is not the pinnacle. It is not the pinnacle of your marriage. We've just finished a wonderful sermon series that Jeff has done, which has shown us that there's so much more to marriage than sex. But sex does have its place. And we need to be those who flee sin. Do not go near the door and pick up at the same time radically doing these things of following the path of wisdom. Do you want to stand and pray for us? Lord, I want to thank you that all of your word is good. I want to thank you that all of your word is for us to digest and to apply to our lives. And I want to pray that you would help us to be a group of Christians at Christ Church Fareham that live radically for you, that say there is no part of our lives, including the area of sex, that we are willing to say you are not welcome. You are welcome into it all. And we say, let you be Lord and Saviour over it all. I want to pray for marriages, Lord, in this room. I want to pray for husbands and wives that they might have fulfilled, joyful sex lives. That the precious gift that you have given them, you might continue to bless. I want to pray that you would be with the husband and wife in this room who are struggling to make that work, struggling to find that rhythm, that path. Lord, I pray that you would be with them in that, and I pray that you would help them through to a rhythm and a pattern of life that means that sex is the blessing that you intended it to be for their life. And I pray for everyone else in this room and ourselves who is not relevant to at the moment, I pray that we might know that to be true, that you have a plan for our life
and you want best for us. And if our lives and your plan includes sex inside of marriage, that's okay. But if it doesn't, that's also okay. Because we want to be men and women of God that walk the path of wisdom. And finally, Lord, I pray, when we dull our ears, when we become consumed by our secular society, and we start to take in from films, from TV shows, from songs, when we start to kind of become a bit diluted by that, I just pray, just help us to throw that off. Help the fear of the Lord to be alive in us. That our reverence and our submission to living wholeheartedly for you might alert us to these things, to say, I'm not going to go anywhere near that. I'm not going anywhere near the door. And help us, Lord, I pray, to not just hear this today, but to take radical action, to put things in place that can help us do this as a community that loves one another and is here for one another. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.